Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shen. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie. No, don't make it worse. We've already had a rough start.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Two very exciting guests on the show today. First, comedian and one half of the Two Non-Doctors podcast and fellow cat enthusiast, it is Liz Meal. Is that how you say it? Meal or Mealy?
Mealy. Whatever Mealy. Comes out is fine.
I'm sorry, I'm the worst ever. Thanks for joining. And then we have part of the Gas Digital family, producer of Believe You Me and Without a Country, it is the one and only Mike Harrington.
Ooh, I'm the one and only? I feel like there's a million of me. There's so many just neckbeard idiots out there.
They definitely are, and they're all driving vehicles and crashing into me.
We're going to get into that. First, I wanted to say one quick thing. So full disclosure, we are about a week behind in airing episodes because I'm going to miss one show in April. So we did an extra one and now they're all going to be like 1 week behind. So last night we recorded an episode with Jack Osborne. And while I was researching what I was going to talk to him about on the show, I looked on YouTube and I Googled him to see if he had done any interviews recently. And I found one, which was done by Brittany Ferlin, who is Tommy Lee's wife. And she's got like I always jump to say billion as if it's a fake number that people can't have. And I got made fun of this earlier. So I'll say trillions of followers. And she had him on the show. So I watched her episode of her show. And I am basically deleting every single question that I had on my list. She asked every single question, even my little comment ideas. She did everything. And it was so freaking frustrating to me that I had to scrap everything and start fresh with all my questions I wanted to ask him. So I was like texting Maddie about it yesterday, so aggravated. I don't know like who she is or what the show is. There's no dig on her. She's killing it. And then today, this morning on Real Ass Podcast, towards the end of the show, Lewis, Jay Gomez, host of the Real Ass Podcast, says, oh, guys, you know what's weird? You know who just followed me on Twitter? Brittany Ferlin. That's the thing incidents. I mean, 100%. I've never heard of this girl before. Last night, we come across her, and now she follows Lewis. How crazy is that?
On Earth, like in a real world, very crazy. In the simulation we're living in, it's just another fucking Friday.
It does feel like algorithmically, like Gas Light Digital and like Google, like I feel like, or you might have said it out loud in a room. Like, don't you feel like?
No, because I was home. I was working from home all day yesterday. The only person I told about it was Maddie. And then I didn't mention it at all at work today. And Lewis just took it out of nowhere. We didn't air the episode yet. We just recorded it last night.
Well, that's just creepy then.
Yeah.
That could also be a thing though, where it's like, if you guys are getting the same guests, you're starting to like live in the same Venn diagram. You know what I mean? Like Brittany,
the same algorithm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Brittany seems to be working in, like, if you guys are both meeting at the same place that is Jack Osborne, it's like, well, there's gotta be some kind of thread there that connects her to the thing is. And
we both have podcasts. That's it.
So my quick question is, for all those Jack Osborne questions that you deleted last night, are you just recycling those? Like, are you going to
use those? Can I answer?
So Harrington, what's it like having Ozzy as your dad?
No, they were all about like his paranormal TV shows. So I'll throw some at you guys during that segment later. We'll see what happens.
Cool.
Okay. I think that's, so now we got to talk really quickly. So Maddie had a little bit of a thing today. He still made it here on time and was less of a problem than Harrington was starting the show. So that's something.
I may flub things every now and again, but I make it all happen in the end. we went to we decided to go to Shake Shack tonight to give it another shot because there's a new one that just opened up like a mile away from me at most. It sucked the last time I had it. It was somehow worse this time around. So none of this turns out to have been worth it. We're sitting in the parking lot. We're waiting for the order to be ready. We fucking did the online thing. So we got like 10 minutes to wait. We're sitting there. We're talking. We're bullshitting. And then like we just feel the whole fucking car shake. And I couldn't process what happened because we were not in motion.
Different so meaning it did, of Shake Shack.
That is a fucking thing incidence right there. If I ever did hear one, that's a little bit odd. Yeah. So, I mean, we get hit and then I get out and I'm near the near her vehicle, which she's still like, she hasn't put in park or figured out which way she wants to go in yet. She's
so
still,
wait, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to like visualize it. So you're waiting like in the line at the drive through,
right? No. So we're parked in like the curbside pickup area. Okay. So she tried to come back and to the left and she So she hit the with her front right, our rear left fender. So I get out and I'm like, I'm going to give her like a, you know, like a, what the fuck? Like, what, you know, what was that? And then, but then she continues to back up. Like there's already a vehicle in her way and she's not like processing that this is clearly a bad direction to go in. So I'm like, stop. I'm screaming at this point. I'm like, time out. Just stop the car, put it in drive. Cut. I'm like explaining to her how to fucking drive. She's 31 years old, turns out. I'm explaining to her how to drive in a way that doesn't collide with other vehicles in a fucking, you know, 10-foot window, whatever the fuck it is.
Is she being whatever. Cool or like apologetic?
She was terrified. And I feel kind of bad now. Yeah, I feel a little bit terrible. Listen, I didn't start yelling until she kept hitting the car. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, I mean, I'm not going to, I already felt you hit me. Now I'm watching you do it like in real fucking time. Like, stop hitting my car, lady. You know? So whatever. We called the cops, got a police report and had our shitty fucking meal that wasn't worth it at all. Yeah.
Well, how much damage was done?
Not a ton, but I'm sure, hopefully we don't have to pay for a fucking dime of it. Cause like, literally just we're not moving, we're just sitting here, you know what I mean?
We're parked.
So
also if you get hit in the back bumper, isn't it like kind of automatically the other person's fault?
Yeah, typically yeah, the insurance companies look at it that way.
I would also think not moving,
it looks like mostly cosmetic shit, but who knows, like sometimes you fucking you hit a tire, like she did catch the tire on her way out, but like I said, she's going fucking 2 at the most, you know, but you never know, like sometimes you catch it the right way and it throws your frame out of whack, so who knows, we'll find out. So yeah, fun times.
Well, could have been way worse.
And it could have
made it on time.
That's and the lady that was sitting on the other side of us was very kind to let us know that. Yeah, this is helping. And then she told Aaron to put her mask on to fucking be careful for her safety. I'm like, are you fucking nuts? Like, leave us alone. You too. The two of you. I'm in a stupid sandwich right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, you made it. Did you pour yourself? Oh, there you go. I was asking if you'd pour yourself a drink. But
I did. And then it was a whole thing with that, but I won't bore you with those details.
So are you at a point in your life where you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to Uber Eats?
No, because here's the problem with Uber Eats. First of all, I don't live in the sticks, but I don't live in the city enough to trust that it's going to be there quickly. And then you're going to let it sit there for at least a few minutes, right? So now you got, especially like things like fried shit, right? Like French fries, all that other fucking stuff. That's going to get soggy. That's on a fucking, a short window of time where it's still good. You know, it's bad enough to even take it home.
Mm. Sitting in the bed. Uber Eats though, if that place is close to your house, you're probably pretty safe.
But the big problem for me is unless the guy is like standing there, like the fucking waiting for the baton, you know what I mean? I don't trust him. I want my fucking food lickety split.
I do my food hot. Like I'm one of those people that like I had so many like microwavable meals or cold meals or like I ate garbage as a kid that like home cooked meals. And then if I actually spend money, I want it hot. No, but I'm like food aggressive. Like, don't talk to me. I'm eating. It'll take me 15 minutes. Just leave me the fuck alone. I didn't realize it until I started dating that I'm just like, shut up. I have my meal.
Yeah, that's fair. You got to have your fucking your lines in the sand sometimes.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead now and get into the segments. The first one is bad dates or weird sex? And this is a question we normally ask new guests on the show. Just tell a story about your worst date experience or weirdest sexual experience, meaning something went wrong. So we'll start with you, Liz. Which story do you want to tell?
I'll do bad date.
Okay.
It's actually, I feel good that my worst date was when I was, I think, 19. So it feels like I learned or I stopped dating. one or the other. So I've been doing comedy since I was 16. And when you first start, they don't really do it in the city anymore, but you would hand out flyers to get stage time when you're a new comic. And they call it barking. So I used to do it, in Times Square to get stage time. And I think I was probably like 18, 19 years old. I'm pretty sure I was 19 because I think I was in college. And I would be on the same corner every night in Times Square handing out flyers. And I would always choose the corner with the cops because I was young and I'm tiny and it just made me feel safer. So I ended up becoming friends with like a guy that handed out flyers for like a strip club and a guy, you know, like I had a bunch of dudes I saw every night for 3 years. And one was this cop. And he was young. He was 21. I was 19. He was really nice. And after maybe about 8 months, he asked me out on a date. And like, I wasn't really dating. I got into comedy so young. I just cared about comedy. So he invites me to a bar. He's 21. He knows I'm not 21. He's a cop. He invites me to a bar. He's like, you'll be fine. We go to this bar. It's like crazy loud. I'm like with him and another cop buddy. Clearly not. They're not dressed as cops. But we're there, it's really loud. And then like, they're just kind of like, I feel very out of place. And
he brought a friend on the date?
Yeah, he made it like very like casual, I guess. Like it was just kind of weird. He's like, meet me and my buddy here. So I meet
two guys. With two guys and,
I'm 19, I don't even know what I got myself into. This is like, I should have like already a cop taking me to a bar when I shouldn't be there should have been, but I was also spending a lot of time in bars and trying to sneak in them just to do comedy. And I was never a big drinker. So anyway, so we go, it's really loud. He's like, you know, let's go meet my buddies in Chinatown. So then we take a car. We were in the West Village, I think. So we then take a car, we take a taxi, we go to Chinatown. We're now in like a big Chinese restaurant with like 15 cops and their wives and girlfriends. This is a first date, by the way. And now it's a full circle of like kind of older cops and their wives and girlfriends. I'm on the first date. They're like, you know, think about how you like just like rag on people. They're ragging on him. They're ragging on each other. They're saying stuff. I'm like totally paralyzed. Like, I don't know what to do. So it's like super weird. They're also, this is like the middle of their meal. Like they're drunk. And so then he's like, let's go somewhere else. So we go above, like it was kind of down. So we kind of go above and walking. And the next thing I know, they're throwing trash at each other. They're picking up bags of trash that are on the street and they're throwing it at each other. I like dressed cute. I thought this was like a date. And finally I was like, this guy's crazy. So I was like, I'm going. He's like, don't go. And I was like, no, I'm going. So I get in a taxi. He gets in another taxi. Follows me home. I go into my building. I go up the stairs. He's texting me and keep.
Hey, Mac, follow that cab.
Right? He's texting me and keep in mind, I had like a flip phone. This is like 2003, maybe 2004. I have a flip phone. I don't even know if it can text, but I'm receiving text messages. Finally, I call him and he goes, I'm downstairs. And I go, dude, you're being crazy and you're making me uncomfortable. He's like, let me just talk. So
is he like very drunk at this point?
I think he is, but again, I just didn't realize it because I'm like, I don't know. This is like, I've been on like 3 dates in my whole life. I've never had like I had like a boyfriend for like maybe 2 months, but like, I don't know what I'm doing. So he's like, come on, I just want to talk to you. So he comes upstairs. He's like really nice. Then we're like making out and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then he starts getting like fresh. And I'm like, that's the thing about me is that I'm like, don't fuck with me. I've been like that since I was a kid. Like, I don't care. And I was like, no. And he's like, it's fine. And I was like, get the fuck off me. Get the fuck out of my living room. So I kick him out. He goes downstairs. He ends up texting me the rest of the night. And I text him. I was like, never talk to me again. And then I found this out later. So he's still a cop. He reached out to me like maybe 3 years ago and I did his podcast. He has a podcast. And I basically and his now wife, but it was his fiance at the time. He's like, my fiance is gonna be there because he's like, I know you don't like me. And I was like, it's not that I don't like you. It was like the weirdest experience of my life. So he was just like, I guess I was a little bit of an asshole. And I tell like this whole story. And then I look at his fiance and he goes, I guess I was a bit of a huge asshole. And I was like, yeah, dude, like a huge asshole. But he told me he felt so bad of how he treated me that he asked his supervisor if he could be in a different corner. And I didn't see him for another 10 years.
Wow. I do like though that at least, cause there are so many like really like crazy pants people out there that afterwards wouldn't think that they did anything wrong and be like, what the fuck is wrong with this broad? You know? Yeah. And the fact that he was at least able to be like, I fucked up. I was a crazy asshole. Like that's at least comforting.
Yeah. So I think like, and I don't use drunk as an excuse. Like drunk is like, you just are a full fledged version of yourself. You know what I mean? Like we all have boundaries and maybe you make some dumb decisions, but like there's certain decisions, even drunk, I'm not going to make. So I say no, and you don't listen the first time, you can go fuck yourself. So I think he kind of, when I said, I never want to talk to you again. And this is a dude I used to talk on a corner. I know that sounds like the weirdest thing ever, but it wasn't at the time since I was barking, but it was a dude I talked to every day that always made me feel safe. And then in this situation, he didn't make me feel safe. And I was like, fuck you, fuck cops. Like, and then, and now we're like friends, like he's come to shows with his wife and whatever, but it's still the worst date I've ever been on.
That's pretty terrible. Also like terrifying, like being a chick in that situation.
I'm a very tiny person. You can't tell, but I'm barely 5 foot. I'm like 110 pounds. Like I will scream in your face, but it's kind of funny at the same time. Like I'm truly like a chihuahua yelling at you.
You're what's the matter, mister?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I truly look like a 4-year-old that's just like, I'm gonna tell you how I feel. But yeah, that's probably still one of my worst dates I've ever been on.
Dude, it's just 8 months. Like he spent 8 months working you down, just wearing you down to get a date, and he blows it that hard.
Yes, Mike, exactly. Like, dude, you had me. I liked you. Like, that's crazy.
Because I was thinking about that. I was like, wait, how do you get from the point of like, I get out of my building to you're in my living room making out with me? Then I'm like, oh, yeah, he put in 8 months of legwork to make up for an already awkward first part of this date. Like, all right, cool. And then you still blow it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. He also fucked up and recovered and then still blew it.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just like, all right, he's kind of an idiot. Maybe he was trying to impress his friends. I don't know. And then, yeah, I was like, don't ever talk to me again.
Wow. That's a good one. That's a great one, Liz. What do you got, Harrington? Date or sex?
I don't have anything I've had some like weird sex hookups, but it's like nothing that would like really fit the category. I mean, my thing is like, I'm kind of the dude in Liz's story. You know what I mean? Like I have taken a girl on the worst date ever, and it like didn't hit me until about 3 years later, like, man, I stink. You know, I was a freshman in college, and this girl was in my statistics class, and like for one reason or another, like she was always like flirting with me and smiling at me, and like took me forever to like pick up on the signals or whatever. And eventually I was like, oh, okay, like asked her out. And I was 18 at the time. Like all my friends had I was 18 going to community college. So like all my friends had like left and gone to like real college. So I had some friends who were still around who were in high school, you know? So the only thing I could think to do was pick up this like 18-year-old now college freshman, right? Who was going to, you know, same community college I was, and take her to a high school party. And it was the lamest thing I could possibly do. Like it just, the same kids who I've been like playing beer pong with for like, you know, since they were freshmen. It's like, now I'm 18. Like I should be at a bar, at a restaurant, like whatever else. And that was, yeah. I mean, you know, I picked her up in my 1990 Volvo, 240 DL. There was still trash, like all over the passenger seat floor. Like I was
in the driver's seat.
Fair. I was genuinely proud of how much trash I kept in there. Like I called it the pit. I was like bragging to her about it. I had no idea what I was doing. Like I was, I don't know. Like I was on some like, yeah, whatever. We're just people. Like, you know, you'll understand like my quirky nonsense. And it's like, no, like this is no way to treat like a stranger, much less somebody who like I'd like to be romantically involved with. So yeah, I mean, outside of like, I don't know, showing up to a party with like a you know, with a six pack of Bud Light and like just trying to play beer pong and then being like, yeah, I'll drive you home and like hammer drunk. She couldn't have gotten out of there fast enough. But yeah. And then, you know, she changed her seat that Monday back in class.
What was your mindset going into this? Were you nervous to be alone with her? Did you want to like show off your friends? Like what was your intention?
That couldn't have possibly been it.
No, because like they weren't even cool friends. You know, like I wasn't even that close with these guys. It was just like, yeah, it's something to do. I mean, realistically, it was just being in the suburbs and being like that bored and being like, I don't know. I wasn't gonna dinner seemed lame, you know. I that was really it.
Yeah, well, like high school seniors and college freshmen, that's the same fucking brain, you know? There's no difference there. You can go hang out with fucking I mean, like it's a little I wouldn't like go around like shouting it in the streets, you know, like I'm going to a high school party, but like at the same fucking age. I was 18 in high school.
Yeah, I mean,
and 19.
It was more like that was the only thing that my social life was. It was like that and like the three or four other kids who, you know, screwed up and ended up in community college with me. And it's like those kids felt like bigger losers than the high school kids. So, yeah. You know, I wasn't going to go hang out with them, but it was like,
and they're more aware of it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be bummers.
But like there is like that thing like they talk about in American Pie 2, like that opening scene where they're playing asshole at like at the high school party. And like, man, are we the weird older guys who are back? It's like, yeah, kind of like that was me just playing beer pong. It was
I'm trying to think of like what a date would have been to me at that age. But I had a boyfriend, like I guess long term for that time, boyfriend at the time. But when we hung out, we would go to like a diner or Roland Roaster, which is like a Brooklyn place, maybe you guys don't know of, but yeah, like there are places to go to eat, like as a kid, where at least the two of you, or like maybe do that and be like, hey, there's this party going on if you wanna go, but also you're like a child, so
it's
I kind of get
it. Scary to be one-on-one when you don't have confidence, like there's something about like even I was already like talking, like I was already doing stand up at 16 and talking was my thing. And I still think I would have been terrified. Like if I was in the position to do the date, I still don't think I would have been like, let's go to a diner and stare and get to know each other. I mean, like, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't like my parents still. Like, like, I don't know what to talk about.
I also think there's a thing where it's like, I, at that point in my life, had no clue how to have a conversation with someone without alcohol. So like, the idea of going to a diner where I was 18 and couldn't, like, they weren't going to serve me beer was like, man, there's going to be so much silence in this. Like, that's wild. There was just no way. So it was like, yeah, where can I go to drink at 18? You know, Jeremy's basement, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So was she just disgusted with you at the fact that you brought her to a high school party and that's why she changed her seat, or was something very bad? Did something bad happen there?
No, I think it was just
disappointment.
Like, yeah, like you know, once you've seen, bottom. Like, oh, that's the best you got. That's your A game, kid. Like, get away from me, you stink.
That's good.
Fair. By the way, Liz, to this day, I'm 38 years old. I still hate the idea of going on a first date. Like, it fills me with anxiety. I haven't been on a first date in probably years. I haven't had sex in 3 years. So I understand the.
Well, what is it about a first? Because like I actually don't mind a first date, but I would think you're very similar to me that we can hold a conversation. I get frustrated where if I have to do all the work and they're excited about me and I'm like, I'm not excited about you. I know how to make this a good date. I know how to be interesting. I know how to carry a conversation. We do podcasts and stand up, like all this stuff. Like I can make this good, but I don't want to work. I want it to be tit for tat. I want it to be tennis. I throw, you know what I mean? We go back and forth. But what I find disappointing about first dates is they'll be like, oh, that was awesome. Let's do it again. I was like, I'm tired and I didn't get paid.
Like, yeah, I bet it was fucking awesome. You know?
Yeah, of course you had a good time. Yeah. I was amazing.
Yeah, you were supposed to. That was what it was meant to. I was supposed to have a good time too. Did I? No, I did not.
But I think because the dudes I end up dating are people that I can hold a conversation with about anything from like philosophical stuff to nothing. And I find myself, if you can't even do it when we have talked about nothing and every topic is on the table, what is it going to be like when we're together for 5 years and we've talked about everything?
Just run out of shit.
That's definitely a big part of it. Like, I don't like the idea of feeling like I'm in a hostage situation where it's like, now I'm stuck. We have nothing to talk about and I don't know how to get out of it. But
Go ahead.
No, it's also just like also wrapped it up in like a whole bunch of like insecurity. I'm not like as confident as my like abilities to make it through the date as you are, but I'm also like not a performer, you know? So like, I would be nervous that like, what I hate silences. Like, what if I can't think of something to talk about and I can't trust this person to, but like you said, hold up their end of it. Like, I want for you to take the lead and I will follow along.
You're so cute though, because you just opened this whole thing up where you had like all these interview questions and then you found out that they've all been asked before. And there's a part of me like, just go on a date and ask them about paranormal shit. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, I think for you, I think just finding somebody that can go on a fun journey with you is all you really need. And like, I do think there's a lot of like, as a woman, I think there's a lot of pressure for men to take the lead, but I think there's just as much as responsibility for women to show up and be equally as prepared to take the lead. Maybe if they decide to take you where you're going to go, but then you also should be like, I actually don't want to be here. Or, you know, what would make me be more fun is if we just went for a walk and got coffee. Or like, I do think like, I've learned more and more as I got older that if a guy sets up a situation, he's just guessing. He doesn't know anything about me. I can take the lead and go, actually, I know you set this up, but you know, it'd be more fun for me. Or I think a better way to get to know each other if we did X, Y, and Z. Let's go rock climbing. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's go get a coffee. Let's play this weird board game at this bar. Like, I just feel like saying no and redirecting it has given me more confidence. Cause before I just felt like, well, they set up the date, but they're just guessing. We're all just fucking guessing.
Yeah, I think that's fair because, and you guys can weigh in on this, but I feel like I am happy as long as you attempted to plan the date, because I also don't want you to put it on me. Like, as long as you attempt it and then you're redirected, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I feel like a guy would be fine with that because he's just doing it because he feels like he has to pick the place.
Yeah, we have no choice. You know what I mean? We can either sit here and talk about what we want to eat for dinner for an hour and a half, or I can just say, hey, we're going to Temptations. Oh, do you want that? Yeah, we're going there. And just end the conversation. Because what are we doing? We're going to fucking go. Oh, you want this? You want this? No, I'm not in the mood for that. Like, you go through all the fucking, like, I've been around the world twice. Where do you want to go? They never know. You never know.
There's also the flip side of it too, though, where it's like, I don't plan many like diner or coffee dates. Cause like, if I'm going on a first date, like I don't want to be the focus necessarily. Like I want there to be an activity that we're both focused on. You know what I mean? Which is why I'm like, I love pool or mini golf or like any kind of game, any kind of a competition. And it's like,
there's like moments of silence where it's okay.
It's natural.
Yeah. I got to concentrate. And then while you're concentrating, you can think of the next thing you're going to say. They don't know. They're stupid. Their brains are like squirrels.
I mean,
I'll teach you, Mike.
Okay. I mean, all right. God bless. You've been in a relationship longer than anybody on this call somehow. So I have to take your
massage. At some point, you got to be like, maybe he's right. You know?
Sometimes people get lucky early in life and just stick it out.
Plus, that's I hit
not,
it a lot.
It's so. Not a thing of skill. It's a thing of luck, in my opinion. But I agree with you, Harrington, that when you pick an activity, it's that because then there's also like a bonding element to like doing something together. Mm-hmm. It's definitely better than like sitting there and have someone watch you eat.
I pick ping pong because I'm actually pretty good at it. But then I've also been on dates where they're actually good. And then I was like, I hate this idea. Like, I pick ping pong because I hope they suck at it. And I'm actually abnormally good, but I'm not amazing. And then I've been on like my now ex, but the last guy I dated, he was incredible. And I was like, you dick.
Dude,
relationship, I'd wait until he was sick and then we would play more.
I'm that way with air hockey. Like, I am, I'm so territorial over air hockey. If like, it's, you know, like my thing is like, we'll go to Dave and Buster's and I won't break out the air hockey until we're like 20, 30 minutes in, you know, like let her get a couple of wins. Like I'll downshift in Mario Kart, like let you get the win there. Cause I'm going to smoke you at air hockey. And if she beats me at air hockey, like I'm not going to be able to respect myself, much less ever look at her again. So.
You're like, hey, I got to drive you home and then I got to nurse my ego.
Yeah, right?
All right, guys, let's take a quick moment to talk about one of our sponsors. Fans of the show who are over the age of 21, I've got something you're going to love, and that's HempireDirect.com. And here's something really exciting. They've got a new release for you guys. It's Delta 8 Flower. Why are you going to love this? Well, if you're a fan of marijuana, which if you're a fan of this show or the Gas Digital Network, I'm pretty sure you are, Hempire can legally sell you Delta 8 THC flower in 42 states. And Hempire Direct is priced to keep you high. Just wait till you hear this. If you use promo code GASFLOWER, you're going to get 50% off their new Delta 8 flower. 50% off, 50. So you can pick up an entire ounce of flower that's going to get you high for just $75. Not sure you'll love this as much as the weed you've been buying? Well, with the promo code GASFLOWER, you can try any eighth for just $15, 15. This is the time to stock up and throw yourself a Delta 8 flower party. Once again, that's HempireDirect.com for high-quality, lab-test-verified Delta 8 THC. And if you haven't been hearing us do these ads for the months now that this sponsor has been with the network, I can guarantee you, based on the Gas Digital employees, everybody that partakes in Delta 8 around the studio, it gets you high, I promise. Once again, HempireDirect.com. Use promo code GASFLOWER for 50% off any of their Delta 8 bud. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is bad things.
Bad things with you.
And this is where we talk about fight stories, physical altercations that you've been in. If you've been in multiple, then the most memorable one. And we'll start with you again, Liz. What's your fight story?
So can I, because I'm not a fighter, it's kind of a mental fight story, if that falls into play, because it's recent too. So like there's these rooftop shows, stand-up shows that I've been doing. And so I was going into the city and it was the day of the insurrection. So I was like glued to my phone. Like I was on the subway. I'm like, every time I had Wi-Fi, I'm looking at videos. I have a group chat with my girlfriends. We're like, this shit is crazy. So I think we can all agree, like we're paying a little bit more attention on the subway. There's like a subway killer now and like all this stuff, so I've been a little more aware on the subway even at a regular hour like 8 o'clock than I would normally, but I'm glued to my phone and I'm a couple stops away from where I'm gonna get off, and there's a bunch of teenagers like roughhousing on like the chairs kind of to the other side of me, but I don't think anything of it. I'm getting off, they're just fucking with each other, so I'm staring at my phone, I'm lining up in front of the door, the door's open, and someone kicks the back of my leg and I fling forward and I turn around and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And it's three huge teenage girls. Like I'm the size of a middle schooler. These girls are like seniors, super seniors. And I look at this girl and she goes, what? It wasn't me. And I'm
three white girls.
No.
Okay.
And I'm angry. I'm like truly rage. I'm like so mad that I want to punch this girl in the face, but I'm like, what am I going to Cobra Kai a bunch of teenagers? Like awesome. I'm barely 5 feet tall. There's three of them. I've never hit anybody in my life. I apologize when my cat bites me. Like I am all bark, no bite, but I'm so fucking mad. And finally, like, I just kind of calm down. I turn around. I'm mumbling to myself like my father. I'm like, wretched, these fucking people. They start laughing. I feel like a middle schooler again. Like all I can think is, like, I'm 35 years old. Like, when does it ever end? Like, I have to worry about wedgies and wrinkles. Like, it's not fair. Like, it's fucking not fair. And then I ran. I'm not joking. I was walking down the street, like, mumbling to myself as I was walking to the gig. Like I was so fucking mad. And I did absolutely nothing, by the way, because that's who I am. I think about hitting people.
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do. Like even if you like had like a heroic moment, they outnumber you, they outsize you. Like there's no winning.
Also, if they're 17 and I'm 35, like I have the consequences. Like you can't. So I know, and the other thing is I have a backpack, I look like this. A lot of people don't know how old I am. And I'm like, do they just think I'm from another school? Like, I don't understand. Like, but I am. I was a little bit like, I was just like, I'm going to get a lawyer, like starting to try to talk like, you know, adult speak that I don't like a lawyer I don't have. But like, I truly was like, fuck it. I haven't worked in a year. Maybe I just punch people now. Maybe that's who I am. I don't know who I am when you haven't had a job for a year.
When you said before that when you turned around, she did like the hair twirl, was that like literally what happened? Did she speak like that? Like, I'm trying to decide.
I'm not even joking. She was like, what? It wasn't me. And that's what like threw me into the rage, is that they knew they could get away with it. They knew I wasn't going to do anything. It was clearly like a dare, but like, I'm not joking, like kicked my thigh and I flinged forward. And like, I've had shitty things happen to me on the subway, but it's usually like somebody's throwing a shake at somebody and it hits you because they're trying to hit that person. Or it's like a homeless person is like being crazy. Or like as a woman, you see dicks all the time. Like I've had horrible things happen to me on the train, but I've never had somebody like attack me because they knew I wouldn't do anything and that didn't matter.
It sounds like a hate crime. It sounds like
no.
I don't think it's a hate crime. I honestly think it's teenagers that know they can get away with fucking with people.
The way, whatever their ethnicity is, they act like a stereotypical white girl in their response. I feel like they're like, let's pick on this little white girl.
I can't go there. That wasn't my initial feeling. Honestly, okay. I think it had more to do with the fact that they're teenagers. This city has kind of gone into chaos a little bit where there aren't as many cops. You're seeing more shit happen on the subway. Everything sucks and I might as well take things into my own hands kind of thing. I don't think it was personal against me. I think it was just, I'll just fuck with people because I'm a teenager and we're going to do fuckery. But like, if it was really violent, I think I would say something else, because it wasn't in a place where I felt like they were trying to murder me. It was in a place where I knew it was a dare. I knew they thought I was, it's like, I have a lot of friends that are also tiny and they're ethnic. And so they've gotten jumped, they've gotten pickpocketed, they've had stuff stolen from them because there's this idea that they don't speak English, that they can't fight back, that they're not going to do anything. So I've always had weapons on me, pepper spray, safety cat. But I usually am like, when my old life, when I was performing, if I felt unsafe, I would walk down the street with my weapons. Like I did not care. I talk to myself. I try to be as crazy as possible because I just want to be safe. But it's weird for it to be 8 p.m. and have to have that same thought process, or the fact that like I often wouldn't have headphones in late at night or on the subway. I'd be very aware of my surroundings because it's late at night, but now you have to kind of feel like that all the time on the subway because it's a little more wild wild west than it used to be.
Yeah, I haven't taken the train since the whole like pandemic happened, like not at all. I take the bus, but it's the express bus, so it's like the bougie bus. And as far as like being out at night by myself, I don't think I have, except like waiting outside. Well, now everyone can come and murder me, but waiting outside a Gas Digital for like an Uber after like a late night, that's it. Cause it's too crazy. No, I agree. Yeah,
it's a little, I'm not saying it's like horrible, but it is the way I feel when I would wait for the train at 2 a.m. on a Saturday is kind of how I feel on the train at, I would say around 9 p.m. most nights.
I think about when I was like, because I've been a bartender for, I don't even want to say the number of years now, but when I was like in my early 20s, I would take the train home from the city and I lived in Brooklyn, and I would just, after having drinks, like drinking while I was working, the bars closed at 4. And so I would take the train home by myself. I would often fall asleep on the train and end up in Coney Island and have to then come back around to where I lived in Bensonhurst and never even batted an eye at it. Never even cared. But that's also, I think, being young and stupid.
Yeah. I would fall asleep on the train, but I always hold my stuff and my vagina. Like I just kind of make a cocoon of me and my lady parts. So I would like literally intertwine my backpack and then I would cross my legs and hold all my stuff. And then I would just like fall asleep. But I also don't drink. So like I wake up every stop and I'm like, the worst is when you wake up and someone's looking at you and then you just go, I'm too tired to even be scared. Like.
I just want to know what kind of Antifa train you're on that you're getting that many milkshakes thrown about.
In general, shit that happens late at night, and like keep in mind, like I'm rushing from spot to spot. Sorry about these dogs. I'm at my friend's place and it's a beautiful German Shepherd. We're in love, but he is barking at anything that moves.
He can come hang out. That would be lovely for me.
I'm so in love with this dog.
See my human side.
I just went through a breakup a couple months ago and I'm at that place where like I'm like, not only do I not want to date, but I was like, maybe I'll be single forever. I'm fine with it. And then I meet this dog, this German Shepherd. And I was like, if someone said you could have an okay boyfriend or this German Shepherd, I would pick the German Shepherd. I feel so safe with him, like too safe. Like he's barking at old ladies walking. Like, I'm not even joking. There's like, it's like, Decker, take it down a notch. But at the same time, like, I am like, he's barking and I'm like, that's my man. No one's going to punch me on the train.
Would you settle for an okay boyfriend if he came equipped with Decker?
He would have to be okay with like
Harrington's planning on stealing your dog. I think
it would be me, and it's my friend's dog. It'd be me, Decker, and boyfriend. And I would often be like, we can't have sex. The dog. It'll upset the dog.
All right, Harrington, what's your fight story?
Well, there's this one time there was this guy in this raft in Arizona.
I knew you were going to do this.
I mean, it's probably my best fight story. I won it.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, I know.
For the listeners who may not know who Harrington is, he had his fighting debut at, is it counted as an Ellis Mania?
Yeah, Ellis Mania, War Off the Shore.
There you go. And he trained forever, and he boxed John Matthews, Rude Jude's producer, and won. And we're all very proud of him for that.
Yeah, that was super fun. That was the only time I've ever, like, you just had something on the date. Yeah, I mean, that helps too. But just having something on the books to be like, you're going to go fight a man at this time, at this place, people are going to watch, there's expectations on you. And it's like, well, all right. I mean, the only way I'm getting out of this is if I fail a COVID test. So, you know, like I better get real creative if I don't, actually.
Just that they're French kissing Chinese people on the subway.
No, but I mean, I think actually, like, Liz reminded me of one that was, it was like maybe a year and a half ago. I was homeless at the time. And I was like, I was coming off the train and I was in just such a bad mood. I don't think I'd slept in like a day and a half. I was miserable. You know, and I was walking, like, my normal haunt was to just walk through the West Village, right? Like, you know, you, whatever it is, anytime, day or night, you go on to McDougal Street and it's like, you know, the red light district in Amsterdam, you know, like, it's, if you walk through it now, by the way, it is a crazy scary ghost town. But I remember, like, it used to be the most poppin', like, you know, two blocks in all of Manhattan. So I would go there and just like hang out in the clubs until, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, look for an after hour spot and just, you know, stay until the sun came up. And I remember getting off the train and I was just, all I wanted to do was just find somewhere to like go to sleep. And I feel, as I'm walking, like about to make the turn onto McDougal, I feel something on my back. Right. And I turn around, I look down, there's just a cigarette butt, like just smoking right underneath me. I'm like, what? And like, I look up and there's just like maybe six like drug dealers. Right. And like the one, like the smallest guy is just sitting there like snickering at me. Right. And I'm like, motherfucker, did you really just flick a cigarette at me? And he's like, yeah, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And I'm like, all right, well, this, it just became a thing now, right? So, like, I start marching up to him, and I'm screaming at him, like, fuck, what the fuck? Why would you do that? And, like, all of his boys, like, get in between me and him, right? And there's, like, I don't know, three or four of them, right? And they're, like, way bigger than me, right? And getting in my face and being like, yo, do you really want this problem right now? And we're going back and forth about, you know, the issue of me getting a cigarette flicked at me. And I explained to them what happened, and they tried to say that he didn't, in fact, flick a cigarette at me. And I'm like, no, the smallest, biggest bitch in your crew, right? The one guy I know here who can't fucking fight flicked a cigarette at me. And I, like, keep cursing at them to try to, like, induce, just, I just wanted to fight this guy one-on-one. Like, that's all I wanted to do, was just fight this guy. And it became a thing where it's like, you know, there's three or four of these guys and they're really trying to intimidate me and, like, you know, make me just back the fuck off and, like, tell me to get out of there. And I just kept screaming at them to the point where I'm like, guys, this has to be bad for business. You know, like, you guys are out here doing what God knows what, you know, like, there are cops walking around at all times. You have one guy screaming at six or seven other guys, like, this is going to attract, like, it's going to become an issue. And they're like, you're right, get the fuck out of here. And I eventually argue them down to that guy giving me a cigarette for me to leave. And I lit it up. And I walked around the corner and that was that. But I mean, that was, that to me is like, that is, that's the best win of a fight I've ever had, right? Like, you know, it was embarrassing getting a cigarette flicked at me. It was, you know, the most adrenaline pounding, because I'm thinking, like, I'm going to have to fight all seven of these guys. Like, if I really want to start shit with this one little fucking guy who I know only starts shit when he's around bigger guys, you know, I'm going to need to be ready to go through all of these dudes. And it was just, I don't know. It was something like that stroke of genius pointing out, like, you guys are losing money. The more you argue with me, just have this kid give me a cigarette and I'll be on my fucking way. Like, I'm homeless trash, just like everybody else you're going to be dealing with tonight. Like, what is wrong with you? Why do you invite these problems?
I mean, you really lucked out. I mean, there is nothing, there was no lose for them in this situation. Like, there's more of them, there's just one of you. Like, there was no reason for them to give in to anything that you were saying. Like, they could have just kicked your ass at any moment.
But he, like, sure, it was just like a, he logicked his way into,
yeah,
letting the, like, it's kind of interesting if you think about it, because
yeah,
they're basically saying this guy is a moron. He goes, actually, you guys are morons, because not only are you drawing attention to yourself, but you're losing business. So you could literally get arrested, or you're not going to make any money. And it was all because your idiot friend wanted to do a power move. So give me a cigarette. I'll get out.
Nope, she's dead.
Rut row.
Yeah. So, well, do we wait?
I don't know. I do stand by it.
I thought Shannon froze for a second. So I was like, oh. It's just one by one. Everyone freezes and the fucking simulation breaks apart. And I'm sitting here by myself and then in a white room.
Martha the ghost.
No, but I mean, like, you know, they, if they did, right, if they all jumped me, there's like, it was close enough to, it was right between like the, where the Village Underground is and the Comedy Cellar, like that corner right by Ben's Pizza. So it's like, there's enough foot traffic there. There's enough police there where it's like, before they really start beating my ass too bad, like, the cops are going to show up. And if cops show up and like run through these guys' pockets, it's going to be such a worse night for them than it would be for like the couple minutes of me getting jumped. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ran into a bunch of people that wanted to fuck with a homeless guy. and you got lucky by being the one homeless man who could give sage advice. You know,
fair.
He's like, we're gonna have to take this prophecy and go with God for our drug dealing ways.
Oh man, well, you know, I hope that they continue to make money that night, and that, you know, whatever the cost of a loose cigarette was, that it was, you know, given back to them multiple times over.
Very sweet of you.
All right, guys, we're going to take another quick little moment to talk about one of our longest running sponsors, and that is YoKratom.com. First of all, this ad is for people who are already fans of Kratom and over the age of 21. If you're not, skip ahead about 30 to 60 seconds. If you guys haven't heard us talk about this, YoKratom has the best quality Kratom delivered directly to your door, no questions asked. They are also the home of the $60 kilo, which you probably already know is absolutely unheard of. If you're forced to go to your local gas station or a smoke shop to kind of roll the dice with whatever Kratom they have available, you can't pick a strain. It's a real nightmare, and you don't know what kind of garbage they're giving you in this random bag. YoKratom is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide. This is quality Kratom. We've heard feedback from our fans. I've gotten so many DMs about people that have given a shot to YoKratom.com, and I have not heard one person not satisfied with it. And once again, they have everything that you're looking for, whatever strain that's your favorite. If you like the powder, the tincture, the capsules, whatever it is you're looking for, they have it. So go check out YoKratom.com. My personal favorite, they actually have a proprietary blend of, it's either 11 or 21, I can't remember the exact number, different strains that they have all mushed up into one called Trainwreck, and that's my favorite. You're not going to get that one anywhere else. So go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo. Let's get back to the show.
All right, we're going to move on to the final segment, which is scary things. And this is the part of the show we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. And let me just pull out my questions from yesterday. So, okay, we'll start with you again, Liz. What's your scary thing story?
Okay, so I don't like believe in ghosts. I think it's all like mental illness and sadness. Sorry if that ruins everything. I don't like my whole thing is like anytime all the studies show that if you see something, see all that stuff, it's usually because after someone died or you're distraught or you're not.
They have to be
well.
Dead to be a ghost, Liz.
a huge factor.
But it's just one of those things where I'm like, I never really think when they say like people come back, like, you know what I mean? Like they always say they have unresolved issues. It's like, who doesn't have unresolved issues? Like who hasn't, I have a to-do list that I've had since I was 16. It never gets done. Like I'm gonna have shit. Like I'm just like, and there's people that had like worse lives. Like everybody has unfinished shit when they die. Nobody's like, I did it all. I did everything I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Check off. So my thing is that it usually has to do with somebody that's like distraught, they lost somebody or like going through shit. And I have a lot of mental illness in my family, like all of it. And I was very depressed when I was in high school. I was depressed, like just every 2 years, but very depressed in high school. And I had, we moved when I was a teenager and I shared a room with, I'm one of five. So I shared a room with my little sister, my little brother until I was like 14 years old. And then I finally had my own room and I was like in the attic, like they finished the attic and I had this, my whole room to myself. But then I realized I've never really been by myself and I was actually scared to sleep alone. And I had these big bay windows that overlooked this yard. We had never had a yard before. We always lived across from like a highway. So everything about the suburbs was different. Everything about sleeping alone was different. And I remember I got up one night, I had to pee, I had to go downstairs, I peed, I came back up and I look outside the window and I just see what feels like someone standing in the middle of the yard. And I don't know if it was another person. I don't know if I just like, and I've never liked scary movies. I don't like being alone. I'm somebody that drives by themselves at 3 a.m. and I will go to the biggest Sheets or the biggest Wawa and just be like, you know what I mean? I just want everybody to be well lit. If they have to see I'm alone, I need everybody, like pictures of everybody in my mind, but it's dark and I just see somebody standing there. And to this day, I don't know if I like made it up because I was just scared or if it was like my dad having an existential crisis. There's a lot of suicide in my family. Maybe he had a moment. I don't know. Like, but that's what I remember is being like 14 or 15 years old and just seeing somebody standing and like, of course, and then it just like disappeared, like that kind of thing. So I don't know if I made it up.
It like faded away or you like looked away and looked back.
It didn't fade away. So I don't know if I saw something real, like it was a real person or, and like, keep in mind, I saw it and then my whole, like your whole body gets hot. You get really like heart palpitations. You try to be like, is that what I'm seeing? And then it wasn't there. So I either made it up or it was, I couldn't have been my brothers because my brothers, I'm 10 and 11 years older than my brothers. They're like babies. This was like a grown person.
So it did appear to be a human, like it was opaque.
Yes. But it didn't look like my dad.
So it could
How long do you see it for?
Huh?
How long do you see it for? Like how?
Very quickly. So that's where like, did I imagine?
An instant?
I wouldn't say an instant. I would just say like, I saw something, I got really scared. Yeah. And like I said, there's these big bay windows. So I kind of like crouched down to my bed and then I was like, and it wasn't there anymore.
Because I had a thought the other day about like what, like sometimes a thing you see out of the corner of your eye could be like, oh, what was that? You know, because I had a fucking like one of those eye floaty things past my vision. And I was like, what? Like how many ghost stories are just because somebody had fucking an eye floater? Yeah. You know, like, oh, I saw a thing. It was movement over there. Yeah. I didn't quite get a good look at it, but, you know, it wasn't
like
that
bacteria.
Though.
No, I don't think it's an eye floaty. I think it was just
it's
a
fucking
girl
tumor.
Yeah, it's a tumor.
It's an eye tumor. You're going to be a ghost for what it's worth.
I think I just this girl that was scared, like, you know what I mean? And I didn't like being alone and I was starting to do drugs and like, I don't think I was on drugs when I saw it, but I was definitely starting to do like drugs by myself.
So that's what you reconcile it as, was that it was either like your mind playing tricks on you or the influence of something else.
Yes.
Okay. And that's your only weird experience ever.
I've seen like, kind of like how Maddie was saying, like I've seen like driving, I get really, really tired. So I would, especially early in my career, I'd drive like 7 hours, do a gig and then turn back around and drive 7 hours back. Mm. And I've fallen asleep at the wheel a lot.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. this actually really did happen. I was driving back from DC to New York and a guy jumped over the fence on a inner like a highway interval, jumped over the fence, ran in front of my car, and I almost hit him. And it's the best Red Bull I've ever had in my life. I was like horrified for truly just like that, Mike. I was just like, ah! So I always see that guy. Like whenever I get scared that I'm falling asleep at the wheel, I think of that guy. Like I could have hit a guy, but it's like, it's my imagination because I'm scared I'm going to hit a guy while falling asleep at the wheel.
Meaning you intentionally think of it or you think that you're actually seeing it?
I don't think I'm actually seeing it as much as like I start to fall asleep at the wheel and I think I see somebody, and it's like almost this weird like nightmare.
It's like that mind's eye thing where it's like, oh, he could be out there at
any point.
Yeah.
Like my heart feels like I had unfinished business. Like my goal, like my purpose was to hit that guy.
And that guy killed 4 kids that night.
Yeah, you could have killed.
Yeah, you don't know.
A hero.
All right, Harrington, what's your scary thing story?
So I'm the exact opposite. I 1000% believe in ghosts, spirits, banshees, for sure aliens. Like at this point, if you don't believe in aliens.
I believe in aliens.
Okay.
Aliens are real.
Is aliens not part of this segment?
It can be.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any direct alien stuff, but I do like my senior year of high school, I spent at a boarding school for, you know, kids who needed emotional growth, AKA rehab for teenagers. So it was at this like ski resort, like it was a cross country ski resort in the Berkshires, old as hell. And they had, you know, on it was like the girls wing, which was like a lot of newer stuff. Then there was the guys wing, which was like the used to be like a bed and breakfast slash like, you know, hotel ski resort kind of thing, you know, like just the like old like built in the early 1900s, late 1800s, like ski lodge thing. And the very end of the hall was the honeymoon suite, right? And the old like legend about this place that, like, you know, you would see it like late at night would be the bride and groom, right? One day, like the groom was carrying his bride up to the second floor of the bridal suite, fell down, tumbled, broke his neck. He died, she died, and that was that. So
that's how I'm going to go.
Yeah, carrying Aaron through the threshold.
That's going to be it. Like, oh, you're so heavy. And I'll fucking tip over and fucking crack both of our necks.
Do you want to do something just really weird, really quickly? Another The Thing incidents. Lindsay, my friend Lindsay, she tagged me in something on Facebook the other day, and it's a bar in New Jersey, which the name escapes me at the moment, but it's like, and I guess they're doing this for tourism, but it's like supposedly known as a haunted location. And the story about how it's haunted is that there was a wedding there. And that the like, it's something like that. I don't remember the specifics, but it was like something that the husband died like shortly before. And then like the wife died shortly after. It's just, it's the same thing where it's the husband and the wife that haunt this location, which is exactly what you're saying. It's just crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that was so the
sad because they couldn't haunt each other in real life. Like, it's really, you know what I mean? Like, they could have really tortured each other and now.
Now they can do it for all eternity.
Yeah, how fun.
If one of them lives, they could have come back and gotten the other one. Instead, they need to just go together to ruin happy hour.
He's like, I thought it was death do us part. Go away.
They missed out on all those years of just wishing the other one would go.
So the legend, right, of this place is that you could see the man would come out in, you know, full tuxedo, top hat, tails, cane, the whole nine. He would come out of, you know, it was 16, walk, you know, the couple paces into 15. And then as he was going through the door, sometimes if you saw him, he would like tip his top hat as he was going through the door. So I was a member of 15. And I just remember, like, you know, I was always like pretty nervous. You know, just the night security would like always hit us with these stories and like mess with us and everything. So it was always like kind of in the back of my head. But I remember, you know, one night it was there was 4 of us, like all in like 4 like single beds. You know, and they were like in on a dice, you know what I mean? Like the 4 on a die, like that's where each bed was, right? Like about that much space in between. There was like a big chest of drawers, like, you know, maybe 2 to 3 feet to the right of, you know, the bed that would be on the top left part of the dice. And I just remember, like, we were all up late, like, just bullshitting about something, like swapping stories, whatever 17-year-old kids talk about. And I remember the kid who slept in that bed, Aaron, was fast asleep. You could hear him snoring. And, like, I could see his body was, like, all the way, you know, against the wall. So, like, very far away from the chest of drawers. And all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, mid-conversation, you just hear slam, 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 slam. And the doors just start opening and closing frantically. They just wouldn't stop. You know, and maybe, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times that happened. We both, like, just looked up, like, what in the actual fuck was that? And we kept trying to get Aaron to admit, like, yeah, it was me. I was awake. Like, I was pulling a prank. I was doing something. And, like, no, nothing. Like, he 100%, like, he had the sound of a guy who had just woken up from a sound sleep to be like, why the fuck are you guys messing with my dresser? You know what I mean? Like, why do you want to, why do you do this to wake me up? And to this day, no one in that room will admit to doing it. So the only thing I can think is, you know, the groom took a trip to the room that night.
Or the custodial staff.
No. Yeah. We would have heard the door open.
Yeah, Liz is like super skeptical. She's like, did somebody die? Mm-hmm. Were people sad about it? Mm-hmm. This story's bullshit.
Were a bunch of addict boys sad about something? when you said that it was a legend, are you basing that on what the security guards had told you, or have you ever actually, did you like look it up at the time?
No, I mean, we didn't have access to the internet at the time, you know, and if I'm being honest, anytime I try to research that place now, there's like 10,000 articles about like child abuse at, you know, boarding school in Massachusetts, and like the program's been shut down. So it's like trying to get down to the bottom of like what may or may not have happened in like 1897.
And they're like, people were murdered and raped. And you're like, the ghosts.
Yeah. Those were babies in those drawers trying to escape.
I mean, did you use the word ghost or paranormal in those searches? That would probably narrow it down.
No, and I've just, it's one of those things where it's never, for whatever reason, it's never
pop back in your mind.
Yeah, it was just like the scariest thing ever that night. And like, I think just the night of me and Chandler, the kid who I was like talking to at the time, just like staring at the ceiling all night, just hoping we didn't get murdered by ghosts in our sleep.
Was his first name Chandler?
Yes.
Wow. That's the only real person I've ever heard with that name.
Oh, like other than Friends?
Yeah.
Raymond Chandler. Not something you made up.
I
love that show. Such a fucking queer.
I'm trying to think of who made fun of you. Oh, it was Brett Ernst. When you hadn't watched, there was another show that we were talking about. He's like, yeah, just keep watching Friends. Anyway.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
Probably
anything.
Heard at the time.
So is that your only experience, Harrington, that something unexplainable happened?
No, I mean, I've had like similar stuff to that. Like just, I think like right after my grandfather died,
it's fucking step one. Like, were you sad about it?
In my mind, right, it wasn't even a ghost. Right. My mom was super upset that her dad had just died. And like, you know, I remember I walked out of the room and like a book flew off of their bookcase and like slammed into the wall like at like the head of their bed, you know. So like the layout of the room is like, you know, bed in the center of the room, and then like the there's like a TV thing with like books on top of it, and it like flew off the top shelf. Like nothing nudged it. No, again, no one was near it. Like the house didn't move, and this thing had like some heat to it because I heard it hit the wall as I was like leaving the room. So
what was the book?
I just remember it had a green cover. I don't remember.
I feel like that's important information.
I know.
Yeah, like, he's like, oh, look, this book just flew across the room. Let me put it back and forget about it completely.
Because every ghost is like, I'll throw a book at them and they'll get it. And you're like, dude, I play video games. Like, you're going to have to put it in a movie on Netflix if you want me to get a message.
Yeah, what are ghosts going to do in the advent of streaming services? It's like, you can't get this message on Hulu. You have to subscribe to Amazon Prime to get your contact from the dead. No, but like I don't think it was like nothing like about the book itself sticks with me. So I don't think there was anything significant about the title. But in my like at the time, maybe 10-year-old brain, I was like, oh, my mom is like that messed up over her dad dying that she's developed like telekinesis powers and doesn't know how to handle them yet.
I mean, what are your powers, Mom?
I mean, I feel like that's equally as feasible as a ghost. I mean, sure. 'Cause both of them, I mean, both of them you can theoretically explain as just energy.
Sure. You know, and as we know from physics, energy is neither created nor destroyed. So it has to go somewhere, Liz.
I keep hearing that, but who fucking came up with that?
What?
I keep hearing that, but who came up with that fucking tidbit?
I mean, we can Google
the same people who say to wear three masks.
You know what I mean? And how do they know? Like, what do you know?
I don't know. I literally know nothing. I just remember hearing that in sophomore year science class, and then some kid being like, yeah, but that means the afterlife must be real. And the science teacher being like, I can't comment on that.
That's Albert Einstein said it. And what did he know, right? Yeah, he didn't know anything. It's just some hack. Okay, we're going to wrap up. We did go a little bit over, but thank you guys so much for sharing your stories. We're going to do a quick round of plugs and we'll get out of here. Start with you, Maddie. What do you got to plug?
Follow me on Instagram at Jester Skulls, on Twitter at Dr. Ding Daddy, and Twitch at Jester Skulls.
Liz, what would you like to plug?
I have a cat book coming out. I'm wearing a cat shirt. So it's called Why Cats Are Assholes. It comes out March 30th, but you can pre-buy it now on Amazon, Indie Books, Barnes & Nobles. And then I have a special free on YouTube called Self Help Me.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Harrington.
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMHarrington. And if you like hearing my nonsense and stories and just general droning, check me out every Tuesday on Chris from Brooklyn's podcast, Notes of a Goon, available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you find podcasts.
Awesome. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's for free. But the best way to support the show is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code TTI, and you'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network. And again, it's a risk-free trial. If you have stories to submit for bad dates, bad things, or scary things, send it to the thing is... podcast@gmail.com. Wherever you listen to the show, if it's iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate and review. We pick one lucky reviewer, I'd like to say every month, but it's every so often, to win a free piece of merch. Tell a friend, of course. It's the best way to help the show grow. Tell two friends. Grab their phone, hit subscribe in the podcast app. That's all that we ask of you. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And again, that white unicorn hoodie is up there now. And I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye guys.
Goodbye.